This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Well, you guys talk about him all the time.
We have a liftoff.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
It is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, Old Dirty Show and T-Mill, a.k.a. Psycho T, have the latest for you. And the latest is a lot happening with the Astros. And here is the latest. The Astros will take on the Milwaukee Brewers as they will start a series after dropping 2 of 3 in a disappointing series with the Chicago White Sox. But the biggest news concerning the Houston Astros is their best player, Yordan Alvarez. He is off to a slow start this year, and maybe this explains some of what's been going on here recently. Not sure how long he has been bothered by this, but if you missed it over the weekend, he was scratched on Saturday's game with hand inflammation, and then also he did not start or play in Sunday's game. And now with that, which is odd because yesterday Joe Espada, the captain, said there was no need for imaging on his hand. But now today the news is that Yordan Alvarez is going on the IL with right hand inflammation. The Astros announced, and Cesar Salazar is up from AAA to take his spot on the roster. Also, additional news to that, fellas, is Yordan flew back to Houston with the thought that he is going to see team doctors with that issue. So that is the latest there, Clint. And for a team that is struggling offensively, they've just lost their biggest threat in the lineup. And he's been off to a slow start. Who knows? You know, obviously, hopefully it's 10 to 15 days, and maybe it's retroactive to Friday or Saturday when he was scratched. But, Clint, this to me just seems to prolong potentially whenever we start to see the real consistent version of Yordan Alvarez.
Yeah, look, I mean, we can talk about Yordan Alvarez and we can talk about the team. I mean, when you look at the Astros right now, it is the margin for error is just so razor thin that when you take a guy like, I mean, the Astros right now are heavily dependent on a smaller group of guys than they have been over the last 15 years. Yep. And the tip of that spear is definitely Yordan Alvarez. And so him not being there, him being injured, him being, you know, not swinging the bat as well as he typically does. Those are all issues, the worst of which is he's injured and he can't help the team at all. So, yeah, they got to get him back. They got to get him back fast. It's more important now than it's ever been that he's in the lineup and he's swinging the bat well. So he can't get better and he can't get out of this funk, if you will, if he's not even, you know, participating.
So, who do we, in 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch, can jump in on this before we look at where the lineup is today versus the Brewers. Who do you look for in this stretch, whether this is a week and a half or whatever, in this stretch to pick it up while he is out? Who are you looking at that you're saying, hey, we need you to start stepping up?
Yeah, look, I think it's Christian Walker and Yainer Diaz. I think everybody else has been swinging it well. They've had their moments. I mean, you look at the top three guys. The top three guys are going to have to be Pena, Altuve, and Paredes. They've done their part. They've pulled their weight. I think Christian Walker's coming around. Yainer Diaz is coming around. You know, but I think those are the two guys that, that you lean into and expect more out of. And look, if you can get Jake Myers to swing it well, I'm not saying he's going to have historic days very often, but if he can continue to swing it better, then that's a good thing. Get production out of that bottom three or four in the lineup, that'd be a good thing as well. But I think most of it's going to hinge on those top five guys, and I think the two that you have questions about, to me, in terms of being inconsistent this year or being in a big time slump early, that appear to be showing signs of coming out is Yainer Diaz and Christian Walker.
Absolutely, those seem to be the guys that are probably going to take over his spot. And then you're hoping that Altuve starts to get it going again. He was smoking hot to start. He's kind of tailed off. Had a tough series against the White Sox. Two hits, no walks in there. 2-for-14, I believe, in that series. You hope that he can get going too. By the way, tonight, as Ronel Blanco is on the mound for the Astros, this is the lineup. And that's something that I wondered about, Clint, was would we see some sort of a shift in the lineup? Would they change some things up with Yordan out? Here it is. Peña continues to lead off with Altuve behind him. And as you said earlier, Paredes moves up to the three spot with Christian Walker now in the cleanup spot. Diaz is catching tonight. And that is one to watch because it seems that they will probably use Diaz. He's going to play every day, whether he's catching or the DH, right? That's what it seems like when you bring up Salazar and you bring up a third catcher on your roster. That means you're looking at having those guys. By the way, tonight, Altuve is the DH. He is not playing in the field, but Diaz is catching tonight. DiCenzo is in the outfield along with a red-hot Jake Myers. And then Cam Smith with Dubon playing second base. So that's a lot.
DiCenzo deserves a mention here in this conversation too, Ron. I mean, he has been on a tear, relatively speaking, for a couple of weeks now. I mean, he's swinging the bat. Yeah, that guy right there. He's swinging the bat really, really well. And he could be a big part of the group, if you will, that helps pick up the production with Yordan out.
Yeah, they need it from him. And as someone texted in, I guess this is Jake Myers' breakout season. They could use Jake to continue to, as Tyler and many have said, rake.
The way that he's
seven hits over the weekend, and was cut short with another at bat, in Sunday's game against the White Sox. So that is it right there. That's presumably going to be the lineup. Probably Victor Caratini will mix in there at times too, as well, but it looks like it may be Peña, Altuve, Paredes, Walker, Diaz as what they look to be their top five while Yordan Alvarez is out. And it is rough. That just looks like a completely different lineup, a completely different feel when he's out of it. So we'll see what the Astros are able to do moving forward as they got the Brewers tonight. They start a series there.
Got him!
5 o'clock fire.
All right, Clint. This has been a story that jumped out for a minute with Justin Tucker, the former Texas Longhorn and Ravens kicker. And Clint, this has just been broken here in the last 30 minutes or so. Ravens, the Baltimore Ravens release the most accurate kicker in football history, Justin Tucker, after drafting Tyler Loop. The organization continues, Clint, to insist that it is a football decision and not anything to do with all of the off-the-field accusations that's been lobbied at Justin Tucker.
Yeah, that's a tough sale. It's going to be a tough sale. I mean, 16 different massage therapists, I think, is what they're up to. And, it would be an easy decision and an easy explanation if it weren't, as you mentioned, the most accurate kicker in NFL history. But given him, he spent his entire career, I believe, with Baltimore, right? He spent his entire career at Baltimore, been a part of one, if not two Super Bowls, one.
At least one.
I mean, I don't know how this happens, but he's an 8-time All-Pro player and a 7-time Pro Bowler. How does that work? But you explain that. But it is a hard sell to think that you're releasing that guy in the midst of all the off-the-field troubles that he's in the middle of. But you're doing it now because of football, for football reasons. That's a tough sell.
Yeah, and they had it. Like, he struggled kicking last year at times. It was the worst year ever. But they drafted Tyler Loop. I think many people saw the writing on the wall. And, Clint, it is hard for me to, as you said, to be sold that this doesn't have to do with any of, like, it's a Deshaun Watson like level of type of accusations lobbied at him, things that people have accused him of, the legal stuff that he's going to have to deal with. It's not been as out there as Deshaun was, which I think we obviously see a quarterback, kicker, things of that nature. But it feels like it's along those lines. And Clint, I don't know anybody else who's going to pick up Justin Tucker. Like, I think there was a time where if Justin Tucker were released like this, that Justin Tucker would have options to play at other places.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody is going to pick up Justin Tucker. And to the point that someone else said he is at times a bad kicker last season, that ain't even it. It is what the legal troubles that he has to deal with.
I don't know if anybody picks him up before the season. It wouldn't shock me one bit. I'd be more surprised if he doesn't get picked up. But even if he doesn't, let one of these teams go a month or six weeks into the season with some kicker troubles that have Super Bowl expectations.
You think they'll at least give it a look to see if
absolutely. Now I'm saying that I don't know the detail. I've not read the details of all the accusations. What's all has been alleged. I don't know. I don't care to. I got to know. I'm exhausted with the
very
Deshaun
similar deal. To what we dealt with Deshaun.
Yeah. So I'd be willing to bet you that if it's at all possible, he'll get picked up before the season. But if it's at all possible, he will damn sure get picked up midseason when somebody needs him.
All right, so that is later. Someone said the Browns may be interested in Justin Tucker, of course.
They've been known.
Well, they've taken a shot at it.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, as we've talked about the Rockets' loss, if you've been under a rock, the Rockets lose game 7 as they are unable to complete this massive comeback. I think they would have been maybe the 14th team in NBA history to be able to come back from 3-1. In the playoffs, they are unable to do so as they just struggled scoring in this game 7. They lost 103-89. And you can jump in 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch as well. I throw this out. What was the most disappointing thing for you? The most disappointing thing that occurred to you last night as the Rockets weren't able to complete the comeback?
Last night specifically, just the group overall coming out so flat. Like that, I mean, you are, as you mentioned, I mean, the fact that you dug out of the 3-1 hole and you're sitting there, all the world is watching. This has only happened, what they say, it's happened in the playoffs. Coming back from a 3-1 deficit, it's happened 13 times, they said. I mean, you got a chance to add. I mean, not only get to the second round, but join a group that's just hadn't overcome these level of odds. And not only do you, I mean, look, that game was over with a handful of minutes left. I mean, it was throw the towel in, but it was you're outmanned in a big way, and Steph Curry just is too much. They were almost desperate with 4 minutes left in the game at that point in time. That's when I knew it was over. And that I think that's probably the most frustrating part is just, boy, I sat there as a Rockets fan, and it was just a serious buzzkill. I wasn't mad. It was just a serious buzzkill because we didn't show up and entertain at a better level.
I like that. They didn't come out. You could tell early it was like, oh, this doesn't even feel like the team that played in game 6 and 7. Or, I mean, 5 and 6. Which where they came out rolling. This just does not even feel like that at this point. And for me, I think the thing that's disappointing is, Clint, game 7 at home, and Steph Curry had 3 points the first 30-plus minutes of the game. He had 8 points total after three quarters.
Yeah.
And Buddy Hield and Draymond Green beat you. Yeah. That part, like, now Steph went off in the fourth quarter, but Buddy Hield and Draymond Green had the games of their playoffs and some of their best scoring games of their playoff lives. That's the part.
I agree, and that brings up a point. Maybe we need to put something together for tomorrow. I don't know, but we talk about the fourth quarter and the last 2 or 3 minutes of the game so damn much. But one thing to me that was blatantly obvious in this series was that I don't remember if it was game one or two, but it seemed like Steph Curry was on the bench a lot, and we didn't take advantage of it. Obviously, there was a game where Jimmy Butler wasn't there, and we got beat. You know, like, but to your point, you're doing something on the defensive end of the floor to completely take one of the best players in the game today out, taking completely out of the game for 30 plus minutes, and you don't have the ability on the offensive end of the floor to stretch it out, to apply pressure, to come back, to stretch the lead out, whatever it may be. To me, that beyond just the fourth quarter superstar that can go, that's the part that, man, when you got them down, the inability to step on their neck is something that a superstar player would bring to the court as well.
And it is not like Jimmy went crazy. It's not like Jimmy had 40 in the game to offset what Steph was doing. He had 20, right? Like like both of them. Like Buddy had more points than both of them. Like, you know, Draymond was trending more points than most of the game. Now, Steph went on off in the fourth quarter. Like, but
when it was time.
Yeah, but it was just like but it's not like the Rockets squandered a lead. They never had it. They're down 12, Clint, and he's got 3 points. And the only bucket he made was late in the half. That was disappointing. That was really disappointing. All right, coming up as we continue, D'Amico Ryans maybe shed some light on a position on this offense that maybe we have had a lot of questions on. We'll discuss our thoughts on what he had to say.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Say coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in. Yes, it is my 41st birthday. And I'm enjoying myself. Shout out to Reggie again, who came up big. All right, that's a take the relationship to the next level. And listen, me and Reggie had some times in New Orleans where our relationship went to the next level. Then when he got up and woke up John Lopez because he came in late. But outside of that, our relationship went to the next level. And did it again today, man. I appreciate that, man, wherever you are. Reggie, go check him out every day, 10 to 2, right here on Sports Radio 610 In the Loop. Him, John Lopez, Figgy Fig, doing their thing. Someone text in, and it's Ocho, of course. Ron, the most disappointing thing from last night was the end of the equalizer. CBS is on that BS. Stop it. The equalizer was, I refused, Ocho, to even give that a shot. I am sorry. Do you believe...
That's with Queen Latifah, isn't it?
Do you believe that Queen Latifah... At Queen Latifah's age, and I'm talking about Dana, that's her real name. Do you believe Dana is somebody running down people? Do you believe Dana is somebody
going... Oh, is she actually doing the physical
work? Oh, yes. She's running down people.
Yeah, I ain't buying it.
No, I'm not buying it. No, not buying it for a second.
Queen Latifah was never anybody running by now, was she?
There may have been a moment there, or maybe...
I don't doubt
maybe
she did it, but it wasn't her strong suit.
No, set it off. The set-it-off version of Queen Latifah could run down folks, but not the Queen Latifah. I believe, do you remember that movie on Netflix? I believe Queen Latifah was, I believed in her more married to Adam Levine? No. Happy Gilmore, Tyler, help me. What? Adam Sandler. I believe more in her. I believed in her more married to Adam Sandler.
Yeah, actual happy.
Yeah. Than I do believe her running down folks at 60. I agree. I just don't believe that.
I didn't realize she was doing that in that show. I just assumed she was a boss. I mean, she's a great boss.
I'm seeing her hitting the corner. She's 55. She's hitting the corners, running folks down.
Come on, man.
Hopping over stuff. No, not a chance. I was out on that. I said, hold on, we got it. And my mom, I love the Equalizer. I bet you do.
Wasn't it called the Equalizer with the one with the old dude, the guy in it?
The movies with Denzel. Which one am I thinking of? That's the movies. Equalizer is with Denzel. That one where he grabbed that pistol and turned it on him?
People have the logo on the back of their cars and stuff all the time. What am I thinking about, man?
I don't know.
From the back windows of people's car. I'll think of it. I'm not John Wick, is it? Nope.
I thought you were talking about Dukes of Hazzard when you're talking about a car. I know it ain't that old. But no, I never believed. I've said, hold on, man. You mean I'm supposed to believe that Queen Latifah is some undercover person that's running down folks and tackling people? Now get out of here.
Ocho's buying it. He's at least enjoying it.
Oh, hell, my mom loved it. My in-laws loved it. Yeah, we watch The Equalizer every week. Just like I'm not buying this BS of Morris Chestnut as Watson. I'm out on that, too. That's going to get canceled. Just watch. It's going to get canceled. Not a chance at all. I am not buying that 1 second. All right. One thing I am buying is today as the Texans are playing their 22nd annual golf charity tournament. And we heard from some of the brass, including Hannah and Cal McNair, including D'Amico Ryans. And one of the things, as they talked about a lot of different things, one of the things, Clint, that was spoken about from D'Amico Ryans, the head coach, is said that he envisions Ariante Ursery, the second round tackle they picked, and they moved up to get him, right? They drafted, obviously, Jalen Higgins with the 34th pick, the second overall pick in the second round, and then they moved up to go and get Ursery, the tackle out of Minnesota. And he is saying they are going to be beginning him at tackle and not guard at this point, Clint. So the plan is for him to play tackle, not guard. 6'6", 331 was his height and weight. And I don't know about you, Clint. I personally feel better about that. Now, I don't love their interior offensive line situation right now. At least I felt like there was maybe more that they could do. That seemed like the weakness. But for the one offensive lineman they got, I do, however, like the thought of, hey, man, this guy's a tackle. This guy's got the body of a tackle. That's the spot he should be. I do agree. Still concerned about the interior O-line, Clint, but I do agree he should be playing tackle, to me.
Yeah, look, when the Texans decided with their 48th overall pick in this year's draft to take Ariante Ursery, an offensive tackle that's played every snap in college football at one tackle or the other, that in itself tells you where he should play. It would have been plumb ass silly. Again, all of this matters. Don't tell me how one of the best offensive tackles in the game right now started to guard. I don't want to hear about Laremy Tunsil when he started in Miami, right? The reality of it is taking a guy that played tackle his entire life, and when he gets to the NFL, all of a sudden you're going to plug him in at guard because he's got a couple of traits that would fit the guard position is plumb ass silly. It's silly.
You said a couple of traits.
Yeah. Look, the Texans understanding their situation where they were across the board. They were as bad as anybody not named the Bears in the NFL at protecting their quarterback. Second most pressured quarterback in the NFL was C.J. Stroud. You don't have the luxury right now to where you've got two tackles and you've got a guard and center, and hey man, we're going to take the best guy available because he's a great offensive lineman. We're going to plug him in at guard and we're going to hope it works and we're going to work around it and we're going to make it work and we're going to support him with all this other. You don't have that right now. What you're trying to do is figure out from going from being one of the worst pass protecting offensive lines in football to at least an average protecting offensive line in the NFL to give CJ Stroud a chance. And let's be honest, you've signed a bunch of 1 and 2 year guys, a bunch of Band-Aid fixes ultimately, and you're going to hope that they work with one of the biggest problems in the NFL in 2025. Was not protecting C.J. Stroud, who was the rookie of the year before, right? I mean, so, like, the thought of compounding that with, oh, we're going to draft this guy that's played nothing but tackle and then plug him in at guard, that there's nothing, for me, and me personally, there's nothing sillier in draft conversations and in O-line talk when somebody takes a guy that's played nothing but tackle and then leans into the thought of, oh, well, he can play inside. Sure, he could. I'm sure he would get down there and give you his best, but it's just not as easy as people think it is. You got a couple of guys that are some of the best offensive linemen in the league. My guy Joe Tooney last year in Kansas City goes from guard to tackle and plays really well. Well, he's one of the best in the damn league. I mean, he's literally one of the best in the at the NFL level. He knows all the ins and outs. He's playing with a Super Bowl caliber roster, and
he went from Tom Brady and the
right.
The two biggest dynasties that we've seen here lately went from New England to Kansas City.
Right, I know there's been several guys that have maybe tried it and organizations that have tried it. I'm just telling you that it's silly when you've got a problem you got to fix, not a hole you got to fill, not a void you got to fill, not hey man, let's plug this guy in and we'll make it work. No, that's not where the Texans are.
And to be like. In the second round to move up to get the guy, not to get him to play out of position.
Yeah, no, he's a tackle.
That he's not used to.
He's a tackle, and the reality of it is you've got a veteran that I think is a better tackle, but I think he's going to play guard now. They're going to put him in there at guard. He's played a lot of guard here, and I think he's going to play. Again, you're talking about a super athletic right tackle in Titus Howard that has the ability to move down and play inside and has had some good moments and has had some bad moments. To ask a rookie to do that when you've got a veteran that you're already paying his second contract that you've already seen do it, instead of asking that guy to do it, but going with the rookie to do it is plumb ass silly. Now, again, you are trying to fix a major flaw in this organization, the offensive line. You got it. Context matters. When you're trying to fix the problems that are with the Texans in this offensive line, drafting a rookie in the second round, a tackle, and moving him to guard is it's borderline criminal.
Yeah, I don't agree with it at all, and I think it's because Clint, you're already doing it right. You're already because one thing this tells us is Titus Howard is going to be a guard.
Yes,
Yes. That's just the one thing it tells. So you're already doing it with Titus Howard, and he's had a little bit of experience doing it. Now you're gonna do it with two. Now both of your guards are gonna be guys that you. That are guys that's not their first position.
I don't like the conversations that are being. It doesn't surprise me that D'Amico Ryan said, "Hey man, we're going to start him at tackle." That makes sense. You know, let him get comfortable at the NFL level and used to practicing at that level and being a professional at the position that he knows, like the back of his hand, and see where it goes from there. I just think the conversations around it, in my opinion, are silly.
Make him a guard.
Just making this guy guard.
Clint, I will say this. The other part to me that I don't like off of this is it feels like Blake Fisher's becoming a wasted pick. Well, to me, to go that high in the when you draft a second round tackle, to me the thought is he is going to be somebody that starts for you.
Yeah. Yeah, no, look, it doesn't make sense. With the Texans, even without Laremy Tunsil, with Cam Robinson, the money you got in him, with Titus Howard, the money you got in him, with Fisher, the draft pick, the draft capital that you used on him last year, it doesn't make a whole hell of a lot of sense to draft another tackle with a second-round pick, but they did that. That's where they are. Now, I think what this gives you is the potential is beautiful because you got Cam Robinson at left tackle and you got two youngsters that I think are perfectly capable. I don't know the young guy as well as as much as I watch Blake Fisher, but Blake Fisher is perfectly capable. He's a serviceable tackle in this league, right tackle in this league. So you've got at the very least a swing tackle there and a rookie that can play. And you got a backup plan with Trent Brown if all hell hits the fan. You got, I mean, you got a backup plan with Titus. You know, you got some options there. But it doesn't surprise me at all that D'Amico Ryan said he's going to start at tackle. Yeah. That makes perfect sense.
No, it makes sense. All right. Coming up as we continue here, hey, Tyler Milner, almost 80% last week on his bets. Damn it, you better get in here, hone it. Tyler made money. Clint made money off of Tyler's picks last week. You need to make money. T-Mill's best bets coming up. Let's see if he can build on that 20 of 26 correct last week, which is crazy. Our best week ever on T-Mill's best bets. And ultimately, yesterday was a good thing for the Rockets. We'll explain that coming up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Next.
What's up, T-Money?
Live from the Mokarum Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in. Appreciate, again, as I see a lot of people up and down the text line and YouTube and Twitch. It's Guy Gene, appreciate you. Happy birthday. Thank you. It is my birthday, 41. Cinco de Mayo. Hopefully you all are getting after it today on a day to just have you some drinks, baby. And shout out to Reggie at Atula who brought up some frozen margaritas. Got one that I might get again.
Get one
again.
More in?
Might hit one. Might hit a little half. But appreciate him stepping up a little queso as well. It's been a good time today. And nothing better than to go to basketball practice and 6U playoff baseball tonight. The A's.
With a little El Tempo margarita buzz going.
Yep, A's against the Phillies. Got to need a big one tonight here.
There you go.
Come on, Nicholas. Come on, baby.
Get it together, Nicholas.
Get it down. Let's go, baby. Let's go now. A couple of base knocks. Here we go. But no, it's been a good time. Stay tuned with us as we continue right here live and local tonight as Texans All Access follows us. Mark Vandermeer and John Harris, they will kind of
back tonight.
Yeah, they're back. They'll relate what happened with the Rockets to the Texans. They said that the heartbreak of last night's Game 7, they'll relate that to the Texans. So stay tuned for that. And then coming up after that, you know we are live and local in this piece. Late night, the best late night sports show, talk show in all of Houston. 7 to 11, Sean Bajani, Patrick Creighton, Chris Santiago comes up behind us. And then if last week is in any indicator of what we do on T-Mill's Best Bet, stay tuned as Tyler will make you some cash. Nearly 80%, 20 of 26 bets last week, 77%, including a finish of 4 out of 5 Thursday and Friday. He absolutely drilled it. Wednesday was the only day that he missed more than one bet of the week. I'd imagine you had a good-ass money week.
So. A lot of green.
Stay tuned for that. All right, Clint, to me, and I'll get to this before we get to T-Mill's best bet. Clint, I think ultimately what happened yesterday really, really is tough to deal with. And I know many people are hot about how that finished up. Absolutely. Felt like they could have come back and they should be getting ready to play the Minnesota Timberwolves. And can't shake that damn Golden State bugaboo that Houston has right now. But ultimately, Clint, I think it's going to be a great thing for the Rockets. Because, one, their young guys that Matter gained a ton of experience pushing this thing to Game 7 and understanding what it's like and what it takes to go up against a champion. Draymond Green said it. They took the champions to the brink. Draymond Green said it. They have a ton of respect of what the Houston Rockets are. And they learned a lot about themselves and gained a lot of experience. And Clint, they also clearly understand that they are a piece away. And they learned a lot. We've talked about it a lot, but they clearly can see where they are. There's a lot of great things to love about what happened in this series. The resolve. Like, I saw somebody text in earlier and said that the Rockets are soft. No, bull on that. The Rockets are not soft. They can't hit a jump shot if they're standing in front of you. But they're not soft. They lack the one dude. They're the Minnesota Timberwolves if the Minnesota Timberwolves didn't have Anthony Edwards, is what they are. And to me, it is a big, big performance for them, and ultimately I think going to be a great thing. They are not going into this offseason, Clint, not knowing who they are. They know exactly who they are and what they need to fix.
Yeah, I think that's the huge plus here, is that the way that that series unfolded, and I'm not just talking about the elephant in the room, Jalen Green, but the way that this series unfolded, you know, the fact that you handed it to Golden State on a damn platter multiple times. You couldn't take advantage of Golden State and their injuries or their fatigue or their stars not playing their best basketball. You couldn't take advantage of it at all in a 7-game series. And it's never been more clear what the next moves are. As you mentioned, you're not good enough as you are to compete for a title. You're not even good enough to get beyond a fatigued, aging Golden State Warrior team. You're not even there. And so it's obvious you got to make a move. Number two, even more specifically, Jalen Green is not that guy. I mean, he had 7 chances and he answered the bell once. Jalen Green is not the guy that you want to build around. Jalen Green is not the guy that needs to be the face of this.
Let me ask this. Did you ever think it was coming? Did you ever think, all right, this Jalen's going to.
Hell yeah, I expected it to be.
I'm talking about like after game two. Like, at what point did you stop? Like,
when he, after going for 38, the next time he buckled and it was clear the moment was too big for him, I knew this is bigger than a moment where, hey man, it's playoffs, he's young, he's never been here. Okay, that was game one. And then he comes back and goes, or game two, whatever game it was. Then he comes back and goes for 38, and you're like, okay, now he's got it figured out. And then he shrinks again. At that moment in time, you know something's wrong, and it's not just first-time syndrome. First-time, young guy. No. No, there's a problem with having the ability to night in, night out. If you're not hot, find a way to contribute. That there's something about every night in, night out, bringing that dog mentality. Like, if you're like, I would rather Jalen Green and M.A. Udoka have been chest to chest on the sideline in game four, whenever it was, at, you know, when it was clear M.A. Udoka said, hey man, all right, enough.
I'm gonna sit like, you down. Yep.
I would have rather have seen Jalen Green stepping on M.A. Udoka's toes trying to get back in the game. Instead, he's on that bench with that towel on his head. Sure. He's super comfortable being on that bench. Yeah, I don't. It was then, but I think he ultimately showed the Rockets who he is, and now they know they got to go make a move. They know he's not the guy.
I completely agree with you. All right, T-Mill, let's get to T-Mill's best bets. Let's win some money. Let's get it again, man. What a big week you had last week. Let's do it again.
Yes, sir. Run it on back. I'm sticking with these NBA playoff picks because, well, every single one of them seems to be hitting. We're on fire with it. Sticking with it on Monday. Here's 5 for you. There are 2 games in action tonight for the NBA playoffs. I got an over and an under for you to get this thing started. Knicks at Celtics. I'm on the over in that one, 213 points. Next, we got Nuggets at Thunder. That is the other game in action tonight. I'm on the under for that one. I got it at 226.5 points. Then I got the Denver Nuggets with some double-digit points, plus 10.5. I teased that up. I believe the line was closer to 9 or so, but I got Nuggets plus 10.5 against Thunder.
Love that one. Love it.
Love that you love it. And then 2 player props. Jalen Brunson with the New York Knicks, over 6.5 assists for him tonight. And then Chet Holmgren, OKC, under 8.5 rebounds for that stick figure. Those are your five best bets. Keep the heater going. What do y'all like? What do you hate?
Completely unnecessary.
So disrespectful, but I love it. I mean, it is, that is very
accurate.
It fits.
No, I mean, in the postseason, Jalen Brunson has averaged over 8 assists a game, so I like that one a lot. The Celtics and Knicks, the over 213, I like that too. I think both teams want to shoot a lot of threes. I think there can be a lot of points.
Talk dirty to me.
It's a damn shame that you called that man that Chet Holmgren, but I do like that 9 rebounds as well. I know I was feeling that Şengün stuff was really high, but they were hitting. I mean, every one of them. He was crushing them. So
I want to get on that Jalen Brunson over assist.
Got you.
Thank you, sir.
A Benji?
Yep.
Let's
you know,
do it.
You know the drill.
He's averaging 8.5 in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Clint, great job. Tyler, great job.
You, great
always.
Job. Happy birthday, bro.
I appreciate that. Coming up behind us, Texans All Access with Mark Vandermeer, John Harris, and then Area 45 follows those guys. I am Ron, the show, Hughley, as always, Houston. We love you, baby. Well, they haven't had issues. Oh, hell, look at this guy here.
Yeah, you want margaritas.
Oh, we got queso. This summer. Son of
margarita.
A gun.
Oh, you went queso too? Boy, hey.
What you got?
My man,
where
listens.
Where'd get it from?
My man listens right
look
there.
God,
look at
right
Red.
There.
Wait, Red.
Look at Red.
Red just got you guys some.
We were making.
Look
I'm sure
at Red.
We'll get to it later.
Yeah,
you just got some LT marks?
About Nico. Yeah. Come on, baby.
Damn, y'all really about to be partying in there.
Hey, that's a gallon too.
In a row?
Yeah.
I'm always good raw dog in the drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.